you read what it has to say about that subject. Now you can guess that since we introduced a sermon series on Proverbs last Sunday, that I'm thinking especially this morning of finding genuine, godly, biblical wisdom rooted in a relationship with the all-wise God. If you want wisdom, you need to know where to look. Generally speaking, that's in this book. Particularly within this book, there is a book of the Bible that is designed to impart wisdom to us, and it's the book of Proverbs. So you turn there with me in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 1. If you want to be wise, you should spend some time in the book of Proverbs. That's why the book of Proverbs is given to us. It's to impart wisdom. And that's what the introduction to the book, which is the first seven verses of chapter 1, that's what the introduction tells us. It tells us why Proverbs is given. It's given to impart wisdom. And that's what we want to look at this morning, the first seven verses. Proverbs holds wisdom out to us. And by God's grace, that wisdom is attainable. And it's offered to all sorts of people. So whatever position you find yourself in today, whether you're earnestly searching for wisdom, you couldn't care less about the wisdom of the Bible, or you just don't know where to look for wisdom, Proverbs has something for you. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. So let's read those first seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1. You can follow in your copy of the Word of God as I lead us. Proverbs 1. This is God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So from these seven verses today, I want us to see the purpose of Proverbs, why it's given to us, and then we want to talk about the beginning of wisdom, and then the people of Proverbs, some of the people that we're going to encounter as we work our way through this book, or as you read it, you'll find these different characters or these different types of people. So the purpose of Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom, and the people of Proverbs. And we start with the purpose. Why do we have the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel? Now, we introduced that book a little bit last week and talked about some about how to interpret the Proverbs. And if you missed that, you can go back and get that on our website. But why do we have these Proverbs of Solomon? Well, verses 2 through 6 really spell that out for us. And we could summarize and say the whole purpose of the book is to give wisdom. So as we started this morning, if you want something, you need to know where to look. And what Proverbs 1:1-7 tells us is if you want wisdom, the place that you should look is right here in this book. Listen to all these words in these first few verses about acquiring and receiving and getting wisdom. So verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand. Verse 3, to receive instruction. Verse 4, the Proverbs are given to give prudence and knowledge and discretion. That's what they do. They hand those things out. They impart them. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning. One who understands, obtain guidance. We are, verse 6, to understand Proverbs and sayings and the words of the wise and their riddles. And so all of those words should point us in a certain direction, the acquisition of wisdom. We're receiving, we're obtaining, we're increasing, we're getting. The Proverbs are giving this to us. That vocabulary is multiplied. Proverbs wants us to understand, to know, to get these things, and it's just repeated again and again. It may be easy to read over those seven verses and just kind of say Proverbs is about wisdom, but read through it carefully and see all those repeated words of getting, of acquiring wisdom, and that will take work on our part. That's great that we have the book of Proverbs for this purpose, and really all of God's word is given to give us wisdom. But if we never open the Bible, or never read or study or listen to it preached or memorize or meditate on these truths, the existence of God's Word, the existence of the book of Proverbs won't do us any good if we don't give heed to it. if we don't read it, if we don't listen to it, if we don't pay attention to it, if we fail to observe as we walk through this life and learn from what we observe, as God informs our observations from His Word, if we fail to see the hand of God in our circumstances, and if we fail to walk closely with Him in a relationship of fearing God, then these Proverbs will do us no good. If we are fools and think that we don't really need any help, I don't need wisdom, I can handle it on my own, I'm wise, and we reject wisdom, if we're too proud to think that we need this truth, we will fall on our faces as we stumble toward hell. If we remain willfully ignorant, we won't be better off. No, friends, we must walk closely with God and grow in our wisdom and understanding of Him and how to live for Him in this complex, difficult world that God has called us to live in. And that doesn't just happen. It has to be an active pursuit on our part, pursuing wisdom. Verse 5 tells us the wise will be increasing in these things. And so listen to a few verses from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth." And then verse 7 of Proverbs 4, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. And we're going to see today the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But another way of looking at it, Proverbs says, is the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. It's here, but if you leave it sitting here and never engage it and never fill your mind with it, it will do you no good. The beginning of wisdom is get after it. And that's why this book was given, particularly Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2 for a moment. I want you to see how active this acquisition is. We're to know and to understand, not be ignorant. We're to receive, not reject. We're to hear, not close our ears. We're to obtain, not throw it away. And I want to preach chapter 2 when we get to chapter 2, so I'm going to try not to preach it now, but just notice the first 6 verses and how we're actively to be pursuing wisdom. So Proverbs 2, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you," that's not just letting them go in one ear and out the other. See, I'm preaching it. "Treasure it up." Verse 2, "making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." See how active that is. We're to search it out. Sometimes Proverbs isn't right on the surface, and I hope we'll see that today. We got to dig for it like for treasure, and it's worth that pursuit. We need wisdom, and so we should pursue it, and that's why Proverbs has been given to us, to impart wisdom to us. Now, that wisdom comes in different forms. Sometimes wisdom is straightforward teaching. That's what you have in a lot of the Bible. Paul's letters are just wisdom. He's going to write and he's going to teach you straightforwardly. Proverbs are a little bit different. Sometimes the Proverbs are less straightforward and you've got to really dig to find the nugget of wisdom there. You see, Proverbs are the unit of teaching here. Verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. In verse 6, to understand a proverb. Proverbs are sayings. They're often couplets in this book of Proverbs, where each half of the proverb says the same thing, but in a different way, or maybe the second half of it progresses your understanding of the first half of the proverb a little bit. Sometimes there are little parables in Proverbs, and you have to determine the moral of the story. Sometimes there are humorous illustrations, but it's not just all plain prose. And so you see in verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, or that word could be translated satire. The words of the wise there in verse 6. And there's collections of the words of the wise later in the book. And riddles. Wisdom is not always right on the surface. Sometimes you have to work for it. Sometimes you have to dig for it a little bit. And whether or not all of those things, proverbs, sayings, words of the wise, riddles, whether they're all in Proverbs or he's just showing us that we need wisdom to understand those sorts of teaching, Proverbs will help us to understand them. This book of the Bible that's so clearly about giving us wisdom, growing us in wisdom, it does that. This is really interesting. Proverbs helps us grow in wisdom by forcing us to exercise wisdom. As we seek to acquire that wisdom, it's not spoon-fed. You have to do a little bit of work in Proverbs to profit from it, because it's not always just straightforward teaching. It's Proverbs. It's things that are comparisons. It's things that we have to do a little bit of digging to understand. And the Proverbs, or the wisdom that we'll find as we do that, is multifaceted. And that's something else we see here. So Proverbs is given to give us wisdom. It will take some work. It's given in a unique way that we might have to work a little bit to understand, and that's good. Even as we do that, we grow in our ability to discern and to understand and to dig into wisdom. But again, that wisdom is multifaceted. These first seven verses are loaded with words that indicate wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, instruction, and so on. And then the words that are packed into these first few verses are found at different points throughout the book. And the different words for wisdom, knowledge, instruction, and so on have different nuances. And I want to draw a few of those out here, but I don't expect you to remember what they all are. I don't expect myself to remember what they all are, because they're all very closely related and interwoven. But I'm going to tell you what some of the nuances are so you can see just how beautiful wisdom is. It's not just some monolithic structure that is unchanging. Wisdom, truth is unchanging, but monolithic, that there's only one way to look at it. No, there's all sorts of ways we should be growing as we study Proverbs together. Some of these distinctions here are pretty fine. I'm relying on other scholars to parse some of these things out for us, but let's just look at some of the words that these first seven verses give us to tell us what's coming in the rest of the book. So there's the word know, or the noun knowledge. You see it in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. You see it again in verse 4. The Proverbs are to give knowledge and discretion to the youth. So knowing, knowledge, perception, to acknowledge something or to recognize it. They give us knowledge, information, maybe we could say, the way we perceive things or know them. There's the word wisdom, of course, in verse 2. We talked about that last week. Wisdom we defined as living according to God's truth, rightly applied to all the circumstances of life in this fallen world. Right? So wisdom is rightly applying what we know to how we live in this world, how to navigate life successfully in the fear of the Lord. There's the word understand or understanding. You see it there in verse 2, to understand words of insight. Again in verse 5, but the one who understands. And again in verse 6, to understand a proverb. This seems to carry with it the idea of discernment and understanding. It's a good translation. But maybe the idea here of discerning between two different things, between good and evil, between wisdom and folly, understanding. The word instruction in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 3, to receive instruction. I think that's the word down in verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that can be teaching, depending on the context. It looks like it is also corrective discipline. We get into some of that at the end of Proverbs 3. The Lord disciplines those whom he loves. So instruction or discipline is an aspect. There's wise dealing in verse 3. To receive instruction and wise dealing, we could say insight there. There's a moral component to wisdom. Look at verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing or insight in righteousness, justice, and equity. The wisdom that we seek and that is held out for us in Proverbs is not morally neutral. Since it's rooted in the fear of the Lord, and more on that in a moment, the wise person will be one who's always seeking to honor God by living according to his standard of righteousness. You know who you find in the path of wisdom that leads to life? You find righteous people by God's grace. Those that have been forgiven and those that are pursuing a life of righteousness. And so wisdom should produce in us righteousness. That should flow out of our pursuit of wisdom. Righteousness, justice, and equity. The judgments of the wise will be just and equitable. So wisdom isn't just head knowledge. righteousness and justice and equity are worked out in very practical ways. And that's as needed for a parent or a student or a child or an employee or a coach or a teacher or anyone. It's as needed for them as it is for a king. So some of this is for a son growing up in a royal court, but man, it's for all of us. It's not just kings that need justice and equity. We all need that. We all need righteousness, and that's what Proverbs seeks to impart to us by giving us wisdom. The word prudence in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, that can actually have a negative connotation sometimes. Crafty. And so you see the good side of that. Prudence, rooted in the fear of the Lord, is a wonderful characteristic to know how to wisely navigate through this very tricky, deceitful world that we live in. You need prudence every day. There's discretion in verse 4, to give discretion to the youth, or we could say purpose. We need to plan our course with direction and purpose. This too can have negative connotations. The wicked have this, and if the evil know how to plot and to plan, we need discretion to plan wisely as well. Proverbs helps us with that. There's learning and instruction, or the word instruction we could say in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. We're to be increasing in this by listening. The wise hear and increase in learning. Be careful, the evil have this too. And they seek to give us bad learning. Same with the next word, guidance or counsels in verse 5. Let the one who understands and the one who understands obtain guidance, counsel. We need that as we encounter the circumstances of life. We need someone to point us in the way to go. We come to a circumstance and we say, I don't know what to do. I need some guidance and some counsel. You'll find it in Proverbs. But guess what? The wicked will be right there with their guidance and counsel as well. And you'll need wisdom and discernment to know the difference. Proverbs is here to help us with that, to discern between good guidance and bad guidance. It's really interesting to me that we have to exercise wisdom in the gaining of wisdom. It multiplies itself. We'll need to have discernment to know if we're hearing the teaching of the wise or fools, to know if we're being counseled to righteousness or to evil. And since the world will seek to impart its wisdom to us as well, anything that claims to be wisdom will have to measure by the Word of God, and it must flow out of the fear of the Lord, which is our second point, the beginning of wisdom. So, first thing this morning, what is the purpose of Proverbs? It's to impart wisdom. And that will require work on our part. And that wisdom is multifaceted and it takes work. But Proverbs is given to us for that purpose. And then we might discern what's not wisdom and avoid bad counsel. So, if Proverbs is here to impart wisdom to us, where does that begin? Well, he tells us in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or as Proverbs 9 and verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is not, Lord willing, the first time that we're going to see this concept of the fear of the Lord in Proverbs. It's all throughout Proverbs, and of course throughout the rest of the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I'm going to talk about how that's the case, but let's talk a little bit. Let's focus in on the fear of the Lord. It's rooted deep in the history of God's people. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The people are right at the edge of the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and Moses is telling them what they need to know as they go in. He's reminding them of their history and telling them what they need to know. And he says, now this, Deuteronomy 6, now this is the commandment. Now this is the commandment, excuse me. We'll get Deuteronomy 6 out here. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God. You, did you hear that? That you may fear the Lord your God. You and your sons' sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Moses says the fear of the Lord is worked out in obedience to God's commands. Here's one aspect of You hear that fear of the Lord all the time. What does that mean? Well, one aspect of it is obeying God's commands. If we fear him, we will obey him. You'll see that in Proverbs. Proverbs 3 and verse 7, the second part of the verse. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. If you took the idea of reading a chapter of Proverbs a day, today is October 8th, and Proverbs 8 says this in verse 13. Maybe you ran across this morning. If you read it this morning, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way, or the way of evil and perverted speech, I hate. Fear of the Lord is obeying God, hating evil. If we fear God, we will do what he says and shun what he says not to do. We'll obey and not disobey. That's part of the fear of the Lord. But it's more than that. It's multifaceted. It's obedience. We often, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, run to the notion of reverence and awe in our worship. We talked about that as we worshiped this morning. I think that's appropriate, but let's not forget the basic element of fear, which is fear. God is to be feared. We read in the Psalms this morning how he shook the earth, and the water fled before him, and the earth trembled at his presence. God is to be feared. Unholy man in the presence of the holy God, that is truly fearful as we anticipate his wrath and judgment falling on all who fail to meet his standard of holiness. So Psalm 76, verses 7 and 8 say, but you are to be feared, talking to God. Who can stand before you? And once your anger is roused from the heavens, you utter judgment. The earth feared and was still. God is to be literally feared, to be afraid of him because of his great power and his judgment on all who are wicked. And guess what? That's all of us. Now, the answer to that is in Christ. But God is to be, part of the fear of the Lord is fear. There's also this notion of awe and worship and reverence and service. Psalm 22, verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel. See, there's this element of worship and being in awe. God, we look around and we see how he's provided for us, how he's made us well, how he's given us the health and strength to even be here today, how he's given us a beautiful, sunshiny day with, I don't see any clouds in the sky, but how he can also bring a thunderstorm out of nowhere last night. And we stand in awe of him and we worship, and then we see what he's revealed of himself to us, that he is to be feared, but that he's good and gracious, and that he's given us his son, and that fills us with awe at who he is. And so in the fear of the Lord, there's obedience and fear and worship before the God who saves. And that fear is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. If you want to be wise, you have to start with a relationship with God. You have to fear the Lord. And that means that we have to have the Lord Jesus Christ. So see if you follow along with the logic here. Without Jesus, we can only know the fear aspect of the fear of the Lord, fearing punishment falling on our heads, because without Jesus, we have to face punishment from God for our sin. But through Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, we're actually encouraged to draw near to God, having been cleansed in the blood of Christ. And so Jesus came and he took the punishment that we deserve for our sin in our place. And he offers himself in his righteousness and his atoning work to all who will believe. And so those who come to Christ in faith then can come to God, not fearful of final punishment, because Jesus took that. And we still come with trembling and awe and a measure of fear, knowing who he is. But we come with confidence because we come through Christ. And we can have a right relationship with God. God welcomes us, and as we say in our memory verse in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from his love. And so we are welcomed into God's presence through Christ. And wisdom, friends, wisdom flows out of that relationship with the all-wise one. We say God is omniscient. He knows all things. So how are we to have wisdom? Well, we need to know the all-wise one. How can we know the all-wise one? Only through Christ. In Proverbs, it seems, sums that up with this expression, this phrase, the fear of the Lord. A right relationship before God, one where we fear him, one where we worship him and are in awe of him, and one where we are glad to obey him. Where else could wisdom come from in this universe than the all-wise creator of this universe? And who in this creation could have that wisdom except those who are in a right relationship with the wise creator? Those who fear him, those who worship him, those who obey him and trust him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremper Longman says, there is no knowledge apart from a relationship with Yahweh, that's the Lord, the covenant name of God. There is no knowledge apart from a relationship with Yahweh that is characterized by fear. Wisdom is not simply a matter of learning principles of life and applying them mechanistically. Wisdom begins with a relationship with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, you need to know the wise one. And that can only happen through Christ. It only makes sense that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we don't fear God, we won't have wisdom. Think of it this way, from Proverbs 2 and verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If we are alienated from God, if we are in rebellion against God, we won't listen to and he won't give us his wisdom. But if we fear God, he will gladly bestow his wisdom on us through his word. And the Holy Spirit opening our minds to understand his word. Wisdom comes from God. If we don't fear him, we won't know the wisdom that comes from him. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Now, the beginning there, that can't mean we do it once and then we're on the road to wisdom. So, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, I fear the Lord and now I'm on my way. And I don't need to worry about fearing the Lord anymore. No, think of it like the source. Or the foundation of wisdom. We lay that foundation, then we don't leave it behind. It's there. We're always fearing God. And it's out of that ongoing relationship that we grow in wisdom. And so don't think of it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge as something that we leave behind. It's lifelong, as is our pursuit of wisdom. Now, before we go any farther, let me ask you about Jesus for a moment. If you don't know Jesus, if you are not trusting in Jesus, let me ask you about your relationship. Are you trusting Jesus? If you don't know him, your relationship with God is as an enemy. And if you remain his enemy, you can't have true wisdom or true fear of God or life. Listen to this. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Trusting in Christ leads to life. So what are you doing with Jesus? Are you trusting in him? Have you put your hope in him for salvation, for deliverance? Because without him, you can't be right with God and you can't have wisdom. It's in Christ that you'll find life and that you start down the road to wisdom. So have you trusted him? If not, come to him and begin to truly fear God and start that journey on the path that leads to life, the way of wisdom. It's only through him that you can be right with the all-wise God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the beginning of the fear of the Lord is trusting in Christ. So Proverbs. Proverbs is given to impart wisdom. The beginning of that wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Thirdly, who is it for? I want us to talk about the people of Proverbs for our last point this morning. People of Proverbs. As you read through the book, you're going to notice different categories of people are being addressed. Overall, we noted last week, the two main categories are the wise and the foolish. But there's a third category that I think we need to notice that we find here in the first seven verses of Proverbs 1, and that is the simple. Look at verse 4. We're talking about the people of Proverbs. One of the groups of people you'll find are the simple. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, to the young man. So who are the simple? The goal of this book is to give prudence to the simple. So who are the simple? Another way you'll see that word translated is naive. To give prudence to the naive. So the simple are not exactly like the fool. We'll talk more about the fool in a minute, Lord willing. But the simple simply don't know. They don't have knowledge to put to good use. They don't know how to act in certain circumstances. They've not observed, or they've not been taught, or they've not pursued wisdom, but they're not necessarily like the fool outrightly rejecting wisdom. You see, the fool down in verse 7 despises wisdom and instruction. The simple is in a little bit different category. They don't know. They may be at fault for that. They haven't pursued it. They haven't sought it out, but they don't know. They're not necessarily hostile towards wisdom, but they don't have it. They don't know how to act in certain circumstances. And the simple are the target of both wisdom and folly. Turn over to Proverbs 9 with me for a moment. We talked last week that sometimes wisdom is personified as a woman who is calling out, saying, come and listen to me. And that's the case in Proverbs 9, but folly is also personified as a woman in Proverbs 9. And so listen to wisdom first in Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. That may all sound very strange to you. She's preparing to have company. Okay, and we'll talk about that, Lord willing, when we get to Proverbs 9. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I've mixed. She wants the simple to come and learn wisdom. The simple are her target audience. But look at Lady Folly down in verse 13. The woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. We'll talk again more about their messages. She wants to impart folly. She wants to turn you astray. And wisdom wants to give you the truth, but their target is the same. It's the simple. They both want to impart something to the simple. They want to impress something on their naive minds. So come back to chapter 1 here, and you notice that in parallel with the simple is the young man. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, to the young man. And often that's the case. The young, by virtue of their youth, simply don't know. The two characteristics often go hand in hand, young and therefore simple, because they have not experienced things in life, they've not been taught, they've not pursued wisdom, and they haven't had the time to acquire it. Often, those go hand in hand, but they're not identical. If you're young today and say, oh, it's not my fault, I'm just simple, I don't know yet, you can be a wise young person. You don't have to be a simple young person. Or old person, for that matter. But you can be wise. That's Proverbs' goal, to impart wisdom and prudence and discretion to the young so that they are not simple anymore, so that they're not naive, so they move from that category of simple to the category of the wise. And so don't let that be an excuse. Oh, I'm young. I don't know. Now is when you need to learn wisdom, when you need to pursue it and go after it with all that you have. You can also have older folks who are simple. These aren't necessarily hard and fast categories. So don't tune out if you're older when you see the Proverbs addressing the young. There's something there for you as well. Sadly, some older folks have not pursued wisdom through their lives, and they're still in the category of the simple, or more likely by this age, they are in the category of fool and are rejecting wisdom. So don't just tune out if you don't consider yourself young anymore. There's something here for all of us. Now, the simple are not necessarily, as we've noted, a morally neutral category. Some are glad to remain that way. Some are lazy. They won't pursue wisdom, so they remain simple. Look at chapter 1 and verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Listen, you need to get after it. You need to pursue knowledge. And that's what Proverbs is about. He's saying, don't rest content in your simplicity. Don't intentionally neglect wisdom. Pursue it. You'll find it in Proverbs. You'll find that the rest of Scripture is useful for making wise the simple. Maybe you recognize that phrase, making wise the simple. Did you know that that's not in Proverbs? It's in Psalm 19. In verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's not just Proverbs that you need to pay attention to. You need the whole book, the law of God. You need everything that God has testified to us in His Word. That's where the simple will be made wise. Psalm 119, 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. We need these words unfolded to us that we can have light and that understanding can be given to the simple. And so, you young people, you kids, when your parents tell you that you need to read your Bible, or they ask you, have you read your Bible today? They're not just trying to give you another chore. They're not just trying to be mean. They want you to be wise. They don't want you to be simple, because the simple are an easy target for folly. It's not just us being mean or saying, we want you to know wisdom. And this is where you'll find it. The unfolding of God's words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Proverbs are given to impart prudence to the simple. So as you read through Proverbs, watch for the simple and be struck with the very open path before them. They could end up in the company of the wise and the righteous on their way to glory, or they could end up in the company of fools on their way to spend eternity with the damned, with those that will be punished by God because they didn't fear Him. Which will it be for you? So there's the simple. There's also the wise. Notice that in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. One group of people in Proverbs are the simple, another are the wise. And this may surprise us a little bit, but I think it's instructive. If by God's grace we have obtained a measure of wisdom over the course of our lives, this verse reminds us that we haven't arrived. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. It doesn't say let the wise, oh, they're wise, so they're good to go. You guys don't need Proverbs if you're wise. No, they need Proverbs too, so that they can increase their wisdom. They still need learning and guidance and counsel and advice. So even if you are old and gray-haired today, or young and gray-haired, or middle-aged and gray-haired, whatever. If you have attained a measure of wisdom and stature, and people come to you and ask you for counsel and for advice, praise God for that. But don't stop and think, I think I've got it. I mean, people seek me out. They want to know my opinion. I have got some wisdom to give. You've still got some wisdom to learn, too, by God's grace. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. It's sad when you see someone who thinks they know more than everyone else and they refuse to learn. That person is in the next category. That is the fool. The wise are the category of the people in Proverbs that you want to be in. Watch for them as well as we go through Proverbs. Sometimes it's a father speaking to his son. Sometimes it's Lady Wisdom calling out to all of us. Proverbs wants more people to be in this category, and for those who are already in this category to grow in wisdom. The wise are found in the path of righteousness that leads to life. This is where you want to be. So there's simple, there's the wise, and last category that we want to talk about is the fool. Now you'll find there's the scoffer in Proverbs, and he seems like a fool that's even farther gone, so you can watch out for him, but I think he's probably in the category of fool. So let's just take fool, and fool is the other category that we're given here in these introductory verses. There's two Hebrew words translated fool in Proverbs, and I don't know that there's much of a distinction with them. I haven't studied that out yet, but one of those words we find here in verse 7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool is the opposite of the wise, and he's farther gone than the simple. He doesn't just lack knowledge and wisdom, he rejects it. He is more taken with his own opinion than with truth and receiving instruction. He's defined as one who despises wisdom and instruction or discipline. He doesn't want that relationship with God that involves discipline. I think it's interesting, the contrast here. The fear of the Lord, we embrace the Lord. Even that relationship of discipline that you find at the end of Proverbs 3, the fool despises all of that. He doesn't want the Lord. He doesn't want his wisdom. He doesn't want his discipline. He's got it. He's good. He doesn't need you. The wise embrace a relationship with God, not the fool. So listen to some of the things Proverbs says about the fool. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I've got it. I don't need your wisdom. It's right in my own eyes. But a wise man listens to advice. You see the contrast. The fool is wise in his own eyes. The wise man listens to advice. You might think it's the other way around, that the wise has some wisdom to give. And so I'm wise, that's pretty good. The fool is, he's looking for more. He's looking at the fool. The wise person is looking for more wisdom. The fool says, I got this. Proverbs 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. The righteous wise person is on a hunt for wisdom. They work to obtain it. They study God's word and pray that he by his spirit would unfold it to their understanding. They're humble enough to receive instruction and discipline. The fool rejects all of that. He rejects the word of God and thinks that he knows it all. I got it. I don't need your advice. This plays out. You see this in secular settings. Some employees are humble and willing and eager to learn, and they make their company a far more profitable place. Others think that they know everything already, and they are miserable to work with, and they drag the company down. It's true on a team. If you ever played on a sports team, there's the uncoachable player. He's extremely talented, but he doesn't listen to anything because I got this. Like, I got all the skills. I don't need my teammates. I don't need your coaching. And that destroys a team. It drags that team won't do well. They might have some success just on that skill, but they could be so much better. But you take a marginally talented guy with a good work ethic, or girl, good work ethic and a willingness to learn, coachable, that can be a huge boost to a team. You see that work out in your day life, where you work, where you go to school. That's true when it comes to biblical wisdom. In particular, you dear young people, again, I pray that you'll have the humility to admit that you are naive, simple, and that you need wisdom to navigate through this world. If you are young, please don't be the fool that rejects the wisdom, despises the wisdom, rejects the teaching of God and his word, and as it comes to you through your parents. So many kids do this. They think they know it all, and so they hear mom and dad, but they don't like it. They say, my ideas are better, my ways are better, and so I'm going to listen, but I don't want to do what you say. That is the definition of a fool. I know that it seems like you have it all together and that you know better than mom and dad and than the Bible and that you don't need those sources of wisdom. But again, it's exactly that attitude that characterizes the fool, and the fool does not end up in a good place. So if you are young or old, I'm thinking especially of the young, if you are young, may God open your heart and humble you to be eager to gain wisdom from his word and to listen to the wisdom that your parents have to impart to you from his word. Now that can sound a lot like an arrogant fool. You need to listen to me and my wisdom. God, help me to not be that way. I want you to have the wisdom that God has been slowly teaching me, teaching your parents over the course of our lives. We want you to be in the way of life, the way of truth, the way of righteousness, the way of wisdom that leads to life. I don't want you to go to hell. That's where the way of folly and rejecting wisdom is. Oh, I know better. That's where it ends up. That's true whether you're young or old. If you're older and still a fool, you need to repent. Regardless of your age, if you're a fool, you need to repent and beg God to have mercy on you. Come in reverence and awe before him. Cry out to Christ for forgiveness and start down that road of fearing the Lord and learning wisdom. It's true in the church. If you have leaders that are not willing to learn or to listen to the people in their congregation, that is the mark of a fool. And I'm convinced that one reason for the success or failure of a church is the humility or the pride of the pastors of that church. Pray that God would make me humble. A humble man that's willing to receive rebuke and instruction and teaching. Pray he would make me wise. So there's the three main types of people you'll find in Proverbs. The simple, the wise, and the fool. If you're wise, beg God for humility to remain. So if you're a fool, repent and run to Christ, who is the wisdom of God. And if you are simple, come down this path of wisdom with us. Seek out the Savior Christ and learn His wisdom. Come on this study of Proverbs with us and pay attention as we go. It's given to us so that we might grow in wisdom. There's something here for everyone. If you're wise, the Proverbs are for you. If you're young, the Proverbs are for you. If you're old, the Proverbs are for you. If you're simple or naive, the Proverbs are for you. If you're a fool, Proverbs can help you see the danger of the path that you're on. Again, from today's chapter, Proverbs 8, verse 5 says, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Wisdom calls out to fools too and says, look, you don't have to stay on the path of folly. Come over with us. Fear God. Trust in Christ. There's something for everyone here. And it will take work to grow in wisdom. Worthwhile things do. It'll take more than reading through this book once a month or 12 times a year like we talked about last week, though that's a good start. And your attitude towards this hard work, your willingness to engage in it will show whether you're a fool, you'll reject it, or whether you're already on the path to wisdom, you'll pursue it. This book has the potential to impart a deep, multifaceted, useful, God-honoring wisdom to us. That's why God gave it to us. So friends, if that's the case, is there any reason why you wouldn't make this book your intimate friend and companion? It starts with the fear of the Lord. So may we fear and obey and worship Him, and may He grant us an increase in the wisdom that we need to walk through this world in a way that brings Him glory. That's what Proverbs is for. May we profit from it to that end. Let's pray together.